Right. Do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kind of want to know how it ends.
Okay. Tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Costello with a rebound. Costello! Big boy! Woo! Take that!
Young child on the beat.
Thank him.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk in the Icebox. I'm your host, Jeff Safferter, here with you on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon here from Dominican University Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We got a really great show lined up here for you this afternoon. Tons of stuff to get into. That call at the beginning of the show coming to you from Gus Johnson over at the Big Ten Network. It's March Madness time, and the tournament is underway. The NCAA tournament, that is. We're going to get to that along with some NFL talk. We've got a big signing of a marquee player here this afternoon that we're going to talk to you about. And also a little bit of off-the-field news, and also a couple of interesting rules. I guess you could say they're rule ideas or things the NFL may be changing. Then we're going to talk a little bit of NBA about the big matchup tonight between the two top teams in the East and West, and just a few other things with maybe the 8 seed in the West and how all that will get to finish out. And then we're going to close out the last segment. We're going to talk a little bit about betting in NCAA and most notably betting, now that's the tournament time, betting on the tournament. So that's going to be our show here for this afternoon. We're very glad that you decided to join us. Maybe since you can stream this, maybe you're sitting outside listening to this on your iPod if you're out on the West Coast. I mean, the whole West Coast just has been gorgeous this last week, and really for last month or so, haven't really seen much rain out here in a really long time. But should be some interesting topics to get to. Anyway, the NCAA tournament, it's underway. The first four games are the four games that the NCAA put in a couple years ago with adding four extra slots so to get into the field of 64. Four teams advance in total from the 68. Last night we saw Hampton taking down Manhattan in a 16 versus 16 matchup. They will get the chance to face Kentucky, the overall number one seed. Of course, everybody knows about Kentucky. They're the number one overall, and they're undefeated. And the big question, you know, they're undefeated, and, you know, everybody's wondering if they can be beaten or not. The second matchup of the night was a good one between the BYU Cougars and the Ole Miss Rebels. Mississippi, Ole Miss, whatever you want to call them. BYU came out stroking in the first half. Tyler Hawes and the rest of that lineup were just lighting it up in the first half. Went 10 of 15 from behind the arc in the first half to jump out to a big halftime lead. But the Ole Miss Rebels were able to explode in the second half, scoring over 60 points in that one to advance to the second round and really surprise everyone, including me. I really thought that BYU had a chance to really make a run in this tournament because of how they play. And also, you know, just their ability to hit shots. But Ole Miss, good for them, pick up the victory. They will head into round two and face off against the X-Men of Xavier. So those, and then tonight, the first four will continue. Another 16 versus 16 matchup will occur tonight. That matchup being between the between Robert Morris and North Florida. Robert Morris coming in at 19 and 14. North Florida 23 and 11. North Florida getting a little bit of attention because it is their first ever NCAA appearance, and also they are only the only team in the field this season from the state of Florida, which is a little bit of a surprise. No Dunk City, no Florida Gulf Coast this year, no University of Florida with Billy Donovan. You know, we saw them win a couple titles in a row a number of years back and are usually in the field. Miami was a bubble team. They were unable to make it into the field. We'll see what North Florida will be able to do against Robert Morris. Robert Morris was the conference champion, or the conference champion in their conference, had a little bit of a surprising win on the road in New York City. And the second first four matchup is between the Boise State Broncos and the Dayton Flyers. This is a little bit of an interesting matchup, you know, on paper, just because these teams are pretty evenly matched, you know, play relatively similar styles of play, and but Dayton is also playing on their home court, as all of these first four matchups are at Dayton University in these last couple days, so they will have the home court. It'll be like a home game for Dayton, so I expect them to be able to move on out of that bracket and move into the field of 64. And after these two games have been played, then tomorrow it's really go time, so to speak. It's March Madness is in full swing. It's the 64 like we've always known, and it's March Madness to the Final Four. You know, who be able to make the big upset? You know, which team will be able to make that Cinderella run? You know, is it going to be Kentucky completing the undefeated season? So many questions left to answer. Speaking of Kentucky, they'll be facing off against Hampton. And this may be one of the biggest David versus Goliath matchups ever in the NCAA tournament. You got Hampton, who has the lowest record of any tournament team, at coming in at 17 and 17. You know, you look at all their statistics. You know, Kentucky, of course, has 9 McDonald's All-Americans. You know, the Kentucky is the ranked first in the NCAA in defensive efficiency, while Hampton is ranked 288th in offensive efficiency. So a lot of things pointing against them. And I saw one statistic that gave Hampton a 0.04% chance of beating Kentucky. So if they were able to pull off an upset, my goodness, it would, I think, there would be so many conspiracy theories out there. And oh my gosh, I mean, just imagine Vegas if that were to happen. I mean, there would probably be like, would be like Revelation, the Book of Revelation in there, you know, like the sky would open up, there'd be fire, and you know, you know, there'd be fire-breathing dragons running around the street. I mean, who knows? Like, Robert De Niro would come out of his casino with, you know, in this pink suit on. Like, what the heck is going on? Like, it would just be complete chaos if that were to happen. And I really don't give any chance of that happening whatsoever. Maybe they hang around for a little while just because they're playing in the tournament and it's emotion. But even the coach of Hampton himself doesn't seem to really be that confident. In his press conference after the win last night, he was trying to call up Jesus on his cell phone. That thing has kind of gone viral now, or of him, hello, Jesus, can you give me a win against Kansas? It's like, oh my, that's a way to give a boat of confidence to your team. Like, oh yeah, we're going to need to call up Jesus to get a win against the Wildcats. But there's plenty of other teams in this tournament besides the Wildcats. And, you know, a lot of people are, saying now that they're such a great team, who can actually beat the Wildcats? And I think there are a few teams out there that can. And the thing about college basketball is if a team on a certain night gets hot, especially shooting three-pointers, it can really be a can really lead to an upset. You know, if Kentucky runs into a team, say like the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who we saw them shoot lights out in the ACC tournament last week against North Carolina, just everybody lining it up, and they do have talent. They have a couple of possible All-American picks on their roster, and guys that can really shoot it from outside. But if Notre Dame team likes them, gets hot against a team like Kentucky, then on a certain night, heck, they could beat them. Or you look at a team like Bob Huggins' team in West Virginia, who are seeded number 4, a team they would probably could see in the Sweet 16. They have some history against Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats. They beat that squad a couple of years back when West Virginia made it to the Final Four, when they played, and I think they played in that was the regional final over in Syracuse, New York. And that was considered a huge upset. We'll see if Huggy and the boys can come up with something against the Wildcats. And, and it's just going to be an interesting thing to watch. And it's not just going to be about hitting threes like I alluded to with Notre Dame, but it's going to take a team also that can play a little defense. That's why I still like the Wisconsin Badgers a little bit, maybe pick them as a chance to beat them, because they play solid basketball, very fundamentally sound. They are built around Frank the Tank, Frank Kaminsky in the middle. They can shoot threes. They can play great defense. They're one of the best defensive teams in the Big Ten last year. And they sure were a fun team to watch all around. And, and kind of alluded to it in the beginning of this segment, who is going to be the big Cinderella team this year? There's always one team, it seems, that kind of surprises everyone. You could even put Kentucky in that category a little bit last year, the number 8 seed, making it all the way to the Final Four, or, go back to George Mason or VCU or, Florida Gulf Coast. I mentioned them earlier in the segment. There's always seems to be one kind of darling of the tournament. And I think there are a couple teams that have a chance to do some things. Stephen F. Austin being one at a 12 seed. That's become a very popular topic this week. Everybody talking about the 12 seed upsetting the 5 seed. I don't know if it's so much about the 12 and 5. I think it's just that a lot of these smaller conference teams get put in that category just because their conference is small and they don't actually get to see how good this team actually is. And, so it doesn't matter where you're seated. If you're a really good squad, you got a chance to beat anybody. That's the good part of this tournament. That's what makes it so fun. And also, I think a team to really keep an eye on is the Michigan State Spartans, coached by Tom Izzo. And, they got a great squad. I played the little Costello soundbite at the beginning of the show just to get everybody hyped up for March Madness with Gus Johnson. He just kind of lost it on that call. I just kind of thought that was kind of funny. It was just like, Costello! I thought it was just kind of a classic Gus Johnson call. And we've heard him call so many, crazy moments. You think of Isaiah Thomas a couple years ago in UW saying he was cold-blooded and, all these or from the parking lot, or all these crazy calls. It's another fun part of NCAA basketball. But back to the Spartans, I think that they are really are coming into the tournament on a high. Yes, they lost to the Badgers in the Big Ten Finals, but they really played with Wisconsin, and they did a lot of good things. I like their inside-out game. They have a good score in Valentine. Valentine, he kind of reminds me of Jeff Green a little bit. He's kind of a similar size of player. He's around 6'6", 6'7", can shoot. He can go in the lane and score. He's a good passer. They work it around inside. Costello has really improved in the paint. And I think that they can do some damage. And if they win in the first round, their first round matchup, they're number 7 seed. They would move on to play presumably Virginia if they get by Belmont in the first round. And I would really like Michigan State against Virginia. They saw them last year. It wouldn't be a really odd opponent for them or somebody they haven't seen before. I think that they would have a really good chance of taking down the Cavaliers and making it to the Sweet 16. All right, well, it's going to be a really crazy weekend of NCAA basketball. We'll break down a lot of it when we come back next week, and we'll preview the Sweet 16 matchups and who we think will be able to make it to the Final Four. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit of NFL news, a big signing today by the Dallas Cowboys. We'll get to that, along with some other news, like mentioned, off-the-field news, and some rule changes that may be coming up in the NFL. Stay with us. You are listening to Sports Talk in the Icebox here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Don't go anywhere.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are 4 times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey kids, let mom help with your science project.
This new mom wants her kids' science project to thrive. Too bad she hasn't cracked a science book since 1985.
A metathesis reaction?
Compounds, mixtures, and elements. Even this baking soda volcano is too big of an experiment. Whoa. Now she's completely forgotten the periodic table. Now she's burning a hole through the kitchen table.
Burning with science.
But her kids' love for their mom is truly transparent. Proof you don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent.
Don't tell Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
The show. You're listening to Sports Talk in the Icebox. I'm your host, Jeff Safford, coming to you live from Penguin Radio and radio.dominican.edu. We just wrapped up our NCAA basketball talk for the evening. Make sure you tune in to the games tonight. The first 4 matchup, 16, Robert Morris versus North Florida, set to tip off in a while, and within the hour, I believe, or We're a little bit less than an hour, I think, and Davidson and Boise State set to be the nightcap out in Dayton, Ohio. Excuse me, Dayton and Boise State, not Davidson. Excuse me. All right, well, we're going to be moving on from basketball and heading into NFL talk. Like I mentioned right before the break, the Dallas Cowboys have added a big help, or someone who I think could be a big help on their defensive line. That player's name is Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy signed today a one-year, $11.3 million deal with the Dallas Cowboys. It could be up towards $13 million, and depending on how he produces on the field. And, of course, Greg Hardy was involved in that case last year. It was domestic violence, and he was suspended for the entire year last year, where he did not play at all. In 2013, he had a fantastic season. He was a Pro Bowler, double-digit sack guy, you know, great pass rushers. And last year was a big setback, but he was acquitted, or not acquitted, all the charges were dropped in his case a couple months ago because the person who brought up the case did not show up to the hearing, so, and hence Greg Hardy is relieved of any wrongdoing, at least in the court. However, he is still on the NFL exempt list, so that means that he's still not completely eligible to return, and it is up to Roger Goodell now to figure out what kind of a suspension he will get. And I'm sure that there's things built into his contract that will speak to that. Well, it'll affect how much he pays. I'm sure that bump from 11 to 13 million will be one thing that will control it. And I'm sure there are other things in his contract as well, depending on of how much money he can get, depending on how much he is on the field for the Dallas Cowboys. Another big move to mention from yesterday, or even Monday, we saw another team in Texas grab another defensive lineman. The Houston Texans were able to grab Vince Wilfork on a $4 million deal, 2 years, bolstering that defensive line, and things starting to look up in Houston, at least on their D-line. Geez, imagine that if next year they can have J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney on both sides and Wilfork in the middle. That sounds like a pretty scary defensive line for the Houston Texans. And, you know, I'm sure everybody in New England will be sad to see him go. The other interesting news that came out two nights ago and really was talked a lot about yesterday was the retirement of Chris Borland from the San Francisco 49ers. It kind of really struck everyone by surprise. Borland, over 100 tackles last year, only 24 years old, second year out of the University of Wisconsin, you know, Wisconsin born and bred guy. And, you know, everybody expected him to really be a big part of that lineup, especially with Patrick Willis retiring and the question mark with Navarro Bowman and everything else that is going on in the San Francisco 49er organization. But he decides to call it quits. He had some worries about, you know, head trauma, even though he had not had an actual concussion since high school, and he's had two in his career. And that's, you know, for a normal person to have two concussions, that would sound pretty like a lot, but for football players, you know, it seems like it's not that big of an issue, but also we can't just look as football players as superhumans. And I think Tim Ryan said it best. Tim Ryan, who is the radio analyst of the San Francisco 49ers, he said that he completely respects his decision, and he respects that he wants to take care of his body, and that there are more things that important in life than football. And, you know, taking care of your body and being there for your family, and, you know, having a good life outside of football is more important than football, and I completely agree with that. And if he thinks that he was going to be put into a situation where he was, you know, just not healthy, or, you know, God forbid if he ends up like Junior Seau, or, you know, that's just not something he wanted to do. And it's his decision, it's his body, and he has the right to do that, you know. But it leaves the San Francisco 49ers in an even tougher spot. It seems like the world is falling on the 49ers. Talk about another Book of Revelation moment. I feel like there's a big open hole in the middle of Levi's Stadium right now. You know, just people just falling into the pits of hell, it seems like. And people are calling for Ned York's head. And, you know, nobody knows where this team is going and all these issues. But I look at the team and I think the success of the team is really on two players. I mean, obviously Justin Smith, you know, on top of these two players would be a huge addition if he decides to come back. But two players I'm really looking to for the 49ers. One, the young running back Carlos Hyde out of Ohio State. He will be the guy in the backfield for San Francisco. Frank Gore goes off to the Colts last week in free agency. You know, he needs to fill those shoes of Gore and get close to 1,000 yards. And the second name, the man he's lined up in the backfield with, is Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick needs to be a consistent quarterback. He cannot be this game manager like he has been in previous years under Jim Harbaugh. He needs to take that next step and become a top 10 quarterback. You know, he needs to be able to make the reads, no more letting the play clock run down. You know, he's got to be a great player for the Niners. Otherwise, I think the 49ers are going to be in for a long season in 2015. Moving on to some interesting news out of the NFL and some really kind of head-scratching news. One of the things they're trying to change with the rules maybe isn't so head-scratching, but the other, it really catches me off guard. The NFL looking at the possibility of changing some rules. One, the two big things they're looking at, one is changing the challenge, the way that you can challenge plays. Bill Belichick kind of brought this concept up a couple of years ago where they would allow teams to challenge any play on the field, period. A penalty, anything. I really think this would be good for the NFL. So if there is just a blatant pass interference call that is missed or is not called the correct way, then they can throw the flag and they can go back and look at it, you know, and see that, yes, there should have been pass interference, or no, we made the wrong call, no pass interference. I think that will be good because, you know, similar to what baseball has done with their umpires, you know, NFL officials make mistakes too, just like the umpires make mistakes. And I think this is a way to make sure that you get the call right. You know, nobody wants a game to be blown on a, you know, a botched call, or, you know, if there was a huge PI in the end zone, they don't want to have a game end because they missed a pass interference. You know, and I think that would be a good thing. And yeah, it might lengthen the game a little bit because teams are challenging. But at the same time, your teams would still get the same amount of challenges. It's not like a team would get more challenges, no. So I don't really see where it would affect it that much. Teams still have two challenges a game, period. And that's the way it would be. So I really like the rule or the idea, and I think they should look at changing it. You know, it's just for the betterment of the game and making sure that every play is called correctly. And if something really, if a really bad call is made, like that call a couple years ago with the Packers and the Seahawks, everybody remembers, with those replacement refs, where one ref was saying it was a touchback and the other one was saying it was a touchdown. It was clear that the receiver and the defensive back had the ball, you know, that the Packer receiver had the ball first and then The Seahawk defender kind of grabbed it as after the fact when he was in the end zone. Instead of getting that play wrong, they could have gotten it right. Or similar plays like that. Just, you know, the point is that they could make a right rule on a play that was really, I guess you could say, just meaningful in a game. And the second thing they're looking at that's coming out of the Indianapolis Colts front office is a rule that I think is really a crazy idea. They're exploring a thing they call the bonus point rule that would allow the team the option to line up for an extra after a two-point conversion. If you're able to make the two-point conversion, to be able to line up for a point after try from the 32-yard line to get another point. So in theory, if you scored a touchdown and got the two-point conversion, you can then line up a 50-yard field goal for another point. So you could get 9 points in a single possession instead of the just 8. And I don't know about this. Bob Knight, what do you think?
Let me answer that. You know, that is an absolute crock of
I don't think you could say it any better, Bob. I think it's an absolute disgrace. I think it is an absolute joke. This idea should not even be in play. Are you serious? 9 points in a possession? Like, come on. A two-point conversion is one thing. But then being able to get 9 with a 50-yard field goal? Like, and you can see why the Colts would want this. They're thinking, heck, we could get 9 points almost every time with Adam Vinatieri kicking, probably the greatest kicker of all time. You know, like, geez, come on, you guys. Like, I just think it's completely ludicrous. And it would just challenge the integrity of a game, and really it would affect the way a lot of games are played. Like, how many games, you know, could be affected if a team's down 9. Say a team has been getting completely dominated the entire game. They're down 9-0, or, you know, they're down, you know, 24-15. You know, and they've just been completely outplayed. They put one drive together, and they get the 2 point and this 1 point, and all of a sudden, boom, the game's tied. To me, that doesn't make any sense. You know, it should be, you know, if you are down by a possession and you make the point, good for you. Good job. If you are down by 8 and you get the 2 point, you're back in it, great. But this 9-point, I think, realm, it takes it from, you know, giving teams the ability to get it even if they're down by 9, or if they're, you know, if they're down by 8, it takes out that extra point that could be in play. It's a big difference between a 1-point game and a 2-point. You know, a two-possession game. And I think it could make all the difference in the world. The two-point conversion makes sense to me because it really is harder to get those 2 points compared to just lining up from 2 yards away, you know, and kicking the point after for 1. You know, it's really not that difficult for a kicker to make a 50-yard kick these days. I mean, these kickers are so accurate. I know that they miss some of the times, you know, but these kickers make 50-yard field goals way too regularly, especially guys like Adam Vinatieri or, you know, Steven Gostkowski, Mason Crosby. These guys make 50-yard kicks 70-plus percent of the time. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just think it's a complete and utter disgrace, and we shouldn't even be talking about this. Okay, rant over. Lastly, in our last bit of NFL news, we got more off-the-field news for the NFL. They're thinking, oh great, here we go again. Running back Bernard Pierce has been released by the Baltimore Ravens for DUI arrest just hours after he got it this morning. Talk about a rough night. for Bernard Pierce, but when are these guys going to learn? Like, they don't have to drive. Like, I mean, these guys are making a bunch of money. They can comp for a few bucks to get an Uber ride home, or, you know, call up one of their buddies, you know, to come pick them up. And or heck, even the NFL provides like a safe ride service where any day, anytime, day and night, 24/7, all they have to, if they're in their home city, all they got to do is call the number and somebody from the NFL will come and pick them up and take them home. Like, there's just no excuse for it. And I see why the Ravens would release it. They're just not going to tolerate that anymore. And so the Ravens presumably will be without another back in the backfield, so no more Bernard Pierce in Baltimore. They did keep Forsett. He was signed last week to a deal, so they still have their starting tailback back there, but see where Bernard Pierce will go as he is now a free agent. All right, that's going to wrap up this segment of NFL Talk. We are going to head into our next break, and when we come back, we're going to break down the big NBA matchup coming up this evening and some other NBA news as well. Stay with us. You are listening to Sports Talk in the Icebox on radio.dominican.edu. We'll be right back.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Josh Groban. My favorite thing about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. The Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and helps get it to kids in need, but they can't do it alone. Find out how you can help at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Was it on that beat? Nope.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Sports Talk in the Icebox here on radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, Jeff Safford. We just wrapped up the NFL talk for the afternoon. We got a few more segments left to go. We're about 3:40, about 15, 20 minutes left in our show. Make sure to tune in to the next show after me, Ball is Life, with DJ Roughhouse and DJ Smooth, baby. We'll be in the studio talking everything basketball coming up after me. There'll be sure big talk about March Madness and some NBA talk as well. We're going to be talking a little bit about professional basketball in this segment. Big talk for tonight. The big matchup, best team in the West versus the best team in the East, the Golden State Warriors against the Atlanta Hawks, both teams ranked number one in the East and Western Conference, respectively. Game coming from Oracle Arena. You know, a game that a lot of people are really looking forward to. It should be a great matchup. The Hawks defeated the Warriors last time these two teams played in Atlanta. And the Warriors will be playing without their star shooting guard, Klay Thompson, who is going to be out for about a week with a sprained ankle. A week to 10 days, according to Steve Kerr. But the Warriors on their home court, a place where they have been extremely tough this season, and the Warriors are extremely deep as well. They have a great bench. You know, anytime you can get Andre Iguodala coming off the bench, it's a pretty good deal for you. But these two teams match up, and they're going to probably try to play very different styles of play. The Warriors are going to want to get up and run, obviously, with the relatively small front court of Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green, and Andrew Bogut. And, you know, other than Andrew Bogut, Draymond Green and Harrison Barnes are players that like to get out and run. You know, they shoot well from the outside. They do play pretty good defense, but they're not big players, where the Hawks are very strong in the post. You know, Carroll is more of, you know, because Carroll can shoot threes sometimes, and obviously with Paul Millsap and Al Horford down low for the Hawks, they're going to want to play half-court style game, maybe get a few threes from Jeff Teague and Kyle Korver. You know, things that makes the Hawks so tough is that there's so many guys on their team that can beat you. Everyone in their starting five averages double digits per game. You know, everybody, you know, whether you look at, you know, Horford and Millsap that average over 15, and Kyle Korver averages close to 13, and Teague at 14.5, and Carroll at 15. It's just, you know, everywhere you look, it's just anybody in the lineup on a particular night can beat you and can get hot, and, you know, you got to guard everyone. There's not, you know, like the Warriors, they have Andrew Bogut, who is a great, you know, center and a great anchor, but he's not the greatest offensive player. He can't really shoot jump shots that well unless he's around the rim. He's not that great of a scoring threat. You know, where Horford and Millsap, they can beat you in a lot of different ways. Horford will step out and hit a few shots from the elbow, so will Millsap. You know, so it's going to be a tough defensive task for the Warriors tonight to keep them under control and play, you know, play their game. Get out and run. You know, make some threes. You still got Steph Curry, the best three-point shooter in the NBA. You know, Harrison Barnes and Draymond Green are going to have to step up in the absence of Klay Thompson in the bench also. You're going to have to see guys like Sean Livingston step up in the bench. They'll be seeing. He'll definitely see some more minutes tonight. And Andre Iguodala, another guy coming off the bench, he will probably play some more minutes tonight as well. You know, and just trying to, you know, keep pace in that West, and I'm sure the Warriors would love to keep hold on that number one seed. You know, they are well ahead. They're over five games ahead of the second team in the West, the Memphis Grizzlies. But, you know, anything can happen in the NBA. If you get in a really cold streak, you know, that five-game lead could evaporate in an instant. You know, and the team that the Warriors could be playing, you know, going back, kind of shifting to the bottom half of the West, it's kind of crazy down in that battle for the eighth seed. It's really come down to two teams now battling it out for that eighth seed out West. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder and the New Orleans Pelicans, both teams within about a game of each other. And it'll be interesting to see who will be able to get that number eight seed. I'm sure that the Warriors, you know, would be the favorite against whoever comes out of the West, but both of those teams I don't think should be taken lightly, you know, especially you look at Oklahoma City, you know, a few question marks just because of their health. Kevin Durant still has not returned from that foot injury he got a couple weeks back, and Serge Ibaka looks to be needing surgery, and he will be out up close to a month, 4 to 6 weeks. And you look at the Pelicans on the other hand, and they're, you know, best part of their teams are, you know, relatively healthy. That Eric Gordon is out there, you know, Tyreek Evans along with Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis has been really playing well so far this month. He's been averaging close to 29 points a game and over 11 rebounds a game as well for the New Orleans Pelicans, and he has blossomed into such a fantastic player out west. And when his rookie deal comes up, it's going to be a crazy free agent market for Anthony Davis, similar to, I'm sure, what the attention Kevin Durant will get, but he probably even more so Anthony Davis, because he'll still be so young when he is available in free agency if New Orleans is unable to keep him around. You know, and for the Oklahoma City, Russell Westbrook just keeps doing his thing. He had an absolutely incredible month of February and has completely dominated March as well. And, you know, you got to put him in at least the talk for the MVP award. And I know he's missed a number of games this season, but his performance has been absolutely key for the Thunder this year. And they saw Kevin Durant go down, and he has just carried the load this season for the Thunder after they had such a slow start and have got themselves back into playoff contention. And, you know, if the entire Thunder squad is healthy come mid to late April, you know, if Bach is back, if Durant is back, and Westbrook is doing his thing, I'm sure that would be a really interesting series between the Warriors and the Thunder if the Warriors were able to stay up top as well. As the Thunder have been a really great contender the last couple of years, and it sure is a team that nobody will want to see, especially as a 1-versus-8 matchup. All right, well, that's going to just about do it for our NBA talk this afternoon. Like I said, the Warriors and the Hawks, big game coming up tonight. Tip off at about 7:30 on ESPN. A couple other notable games. The Nets are going up against the Cavaliers. Spurs and the Bucks going on at 5. Celtics and the Thunder, theme I just mentioned, the Thunder will be facing off. The Celtics have actually won 5 games in a row, so maybe the Thunder will have to look out for that one. And the Pacers and the Bulls also coming up at 5 o'clock. All right, we're going to head into our last segment of the evening. It's a little bit of a, I guess it's not really evening unless you're on the West Coast, or excuse me, on the East Coast. But we're going to talk a little bit about NCAA March Madness brackets betting and just kind of the controversy that has uprised because of that. It'll be an interesting conversation, and we'll get to it in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The
only thing I didn't learn...
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie.
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kinda wanna know how it ends.
Okay. Tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to the show, Sports Talk in the Icebox here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm Jeff Safford, your host. Remember our last segment here on the program. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in here this afternoon. Make sure you tune in next week to my show from 3 to 4 p.m. right back here on Wednesday afternoon. Make sure you tune in also for Ball is Life that is coming up from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Penguin Radio. They'll be talking everything basketball. I got into a little bit of conversation about March Madness, and I just wrapped up my NBA segment, but I'm sure they will hit on a lot more things in more detail. So make sure you tune in to that one. That was with DJ Smooth Daddy and DJ Roughhouse. I love that DJ name, Smooth. Anyway, we're going to get into a little bit of a different segment. A lot of times we like to shake it up a little bit for the last segment. We're going to talk about NCAA March Madness brackets. Now, making a bracket for the NCAA tournament has to be one of the most popular things to do when it comes to sports. You know, people that know nothing about, you know, sports or college basketball whatsoever will make a bracket. And it always seems like when you enter that pool with at your office with your buddies or at the office, like I just said, it always seems like the lady that's never won a basketball game in her life seems to be the one that ends up winning, and there's, people that go to Vegas and bet. Like I said, if Hampton were to beat Kentucky tonight, there'd be scenes of revelations taking place and all these other things. And, the NCAA tournament has to be one of the top, most betted on things in the United States, maybe second to maybe the Super Bowl. But making a bracket is such a popular thing to do. And something I think a lot of people forget about when they're, placing bets and getting in the pools and stuff is that the NCAA basketball is still an amateur sport. And these aren't professionals. And should there, and the question that's brought up is, should there be a line that is drawn, on what you can and what you can't bet on? You look at the tier below college sports, which is high school sports. It's definitely not legal to be betting on high school athletics. And, a lot of the guys playing high school athletic are 18 years old, just like a number of the players on Kentucky's roster. So what's the big difference? And if you ask the NCAA, they don't condone, condone betting as well. From the NCAA website, quote, the NCAA opposes all forms of gambling, legal and illegal, on college sports, and specifically prohibits coaches, administrators, and student athletes from gambling on any sport, event, or providing information to anyone gambling on the sports. Sports gambling threatens the well-being of student athletes and the integrity of the game. The NCAA works to preserve sportsmanship and to provide every student athlete the opportunity to win fairly. So what I get out of that is that the NCAA first comes out and says that it opposes all forms of gambling. Okay, illegal and illegal. It seems pretty cut and dry. And then it goes into prohibiting it to all other people, you know, all the coaches and stuff. So basically that's saying, we don't really like betting, but if you're not a coach or anybody involved on a team, then we don't really care, or we're not really going to stop you from doing it. And that seems, am I the only one? That just doesn't seem very just to me. It makes questions the integrity of the NCAA, because everybody knows that there's a lot of money involved in betting, and the NCAA isn't going to want to, basically saying they don't want to stop betting, you know, people, the population betting, because they want more money to be thrown in to the bin. And it just points more to the fact that the NCAA is a complete joke, and is just money hoarding, just, you know, black, you know, it's like the Death Star in Star Wars. It's just a completely, it's not good for amateur athletics, and I think they really need to change things around. Or, you know, I'm not saying that I think the whole argument that NCAA athletes should be paid, I don't think that's a valid argument to make, but I also think that the NCAA should look at things with betting, and, you know, they shouldn't say that we oppose betting and then go turn around and say that we only oppose it for players and people that are involved in the game, or, you know, or even other student athletes that, you know, they should, you know, so if a person that's on Texas A&M's basketball team can't go bet on Texas to win the Final Four, a team from an, you know, it just seems like, well, what do you think is legal betting and what isn't legal? And to me, it's just a complete joke. And, you know, if it's a bet that could benefit the NCAA in terms of, you know, money gain, then the NCAA is not going to say a word. But if it isn't, if they need to, you know, do something political, then that's when they're going to raise their hand. You know, just an interesting, I thought an interesting thing to bring up, an interesting topic to maybe think about. You know, with that being said, I will still be filling out a bracket this year, and I'm sure a lot of other people will be as well. Okay, we're out of time here on Sports Talk in the Icebox, so I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in here this afternoon. I'm Jeff Safford. Make sure to tune in to my show next week from 3 to 4, and stay tuned for Ball is Life with DJ Smoove and Roughhouse. It's coming up in just a few minutes here on Penguin Radio. Dominican.edu. Have a great afternoon, everybody.